You know, it's hard to step in after Kevin has brought the heat like that for a few years now, or a couple years now, and in this series specifically. Oh my goodness, I am so blessed to be here. I was thinking, to kick this thing off, as we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit today, is there any way to give enough credence, enough thanks, enough joy, enough anything to express our gratitude to God for how He has worked in our lives? And they're really, I don't know, there's just sometimes that words won't capture it. And to say, good morning, my name is Drews Mitchell, and I'm an elder here, is okay. But I'd much rather start with what we just did, which is sing to the Lord and to bring Him glory. And in this small capacity now, but later, as we point to the eternal capacity, before the God of the universe, in His power and glory, around His throne, is amazing. I think we just got a sample of that today. What a wonderful introduction to a topic that is so important. So a joy to be here, and a joy to be able to offer a message I believe is from the Lord that has been stirring in my heart, I think, since I delved into Romans 8 about 8 years ago. And I love that section of scripture, and how it changed my life personally is rather incredible. And I'll talk a little bit about that, but what a joy to be here today. Kevin has done an amazing job of highlighting how the Holy Spirit works through some great visuals. And I want to point out a few. The first, I think several of you have picked up this wonderful reminder of a washer with some leather as a great way to carry around a visual representation of Christ making us stainless. And it works from three shovels, as you may have seen already. I'll do a quick review if you're joining us for the first time. I think this is an accurate descriptor of what this series is all about. So we have a shovel here that is made out of just normal metal, and it's rusted. It becomes corroded, and this represents a life perhaps not refreshed in the Holy Spirit, and lives that are not made new. We do have another shovel represented here in a covering of chrome. And as you can see, if you're, you know, close enough, there's still some rust on here. There's a chrome covering, which represents, in a sense, trying to do religion, which is, okay, I've learned a little bit about God, but haven't necessarily invited the Holy Spirit into my life to play a role in making me new. So the chrome wears off eventually, and we are corroded once again. Then the third shovel is stainless steel. And same as the little reminder that we've been wearing, this is a representation of the life that has been through the fires and trials of the Lord that has seeped or has brought out through various means and an infusion of different alloys, in this particular case, a stainless product. Spiritually speaking, this means that the Lord is infused in our hearts, infused in our souls, and we are truly a new material, much like an alloy such as stainless steel, and there's no rust. So a fantastic way for us to see how the Lord works in this particular regard with the Holy Spirit. We also took a look specifically last week at the aspect of sin, and that's not an easy topic, and a lot of people, I know myself, there's times where that's a little bit harder to hear, and that, you know, pushes in our hearts a little bit, but it's ultimately good. We know through the Word that God draws us to repentance through His kindness. That's an amazing scripture, and it's one that we heard, and it was evident last week as the Lord was drawing us to places where we could see in our spiritual mirror some ways that we need to turn to Him. Kevin talked about a continuum as well, and I like this, and this goes kind of back to our inception as the Village Community Church, where you have this continuum of, in this particular case, some aspects of freedom. On this side, perhaps, of the continuum was a sense of legalism, which is much like this shovel that was coated in chrome, where we try and do religion, and we have rules and regulations, and everything about church is based upon behavior modification. And then we go down this aspect of the continuum, and we move over here, and we're at a place where it's all about cheap grace, where we pay no attention to the law, and that we sin in about in however we want to, because grace abounds. Well, that's wrong, and we find, again, the balance in the middle, where we ask the Holy Spirit to give us freedom to love. And as we're seeking that, that freedom and that power, those aspects of sin have that balance point. and we seek the Lord. So, of course, we're going to stumble. No, I want to make sure that's clear. No one on this side of heaven, except for Jesus, can say they've never stumbled or won't stumble or make mistakes. But it's the habitual sin that we are freed from through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's an important review of last week. It sets us up very well for today. And I think that you'll enjoy some of the unfolding of Scripture in regards to the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that there's a huge impact as we see how God moves in our lives. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. We are blessed. We are thankful. We are joyful in who you are because of the power of your Spirit. We thank you for good worship, and we thank you that you've given us a place that we can gather in security and in freedom and hope to rejoice in our new selves because of you and your work. And Lord Jesus, we ask that all the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and our hearts together, God, would be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So I grew up in a Lutheran denomination. This is a standard kind of popular denomination here. I know fellows in the crowd today who joined me in this particular faith walk. And like many eighth graders, I was confirmed in the Lutheran Church. And it's a big deal. For those who are Catholic, it's something similar or grew up Catholic. And you have a big celebration. You write a little letter about your belief in God. And it was good. And I believed in God. And that all was very healthy and good. And I'm very thankful. I grew up in a home there where my parents pointed me to Jesus, and that can't be minimized. But to be honest with you, Jesus was a Sunday morning endeavor. So my talk about Jesus, my thought about Jesus was Sunday morning. I gave God a high five, and then I did whatever the rest of the week. I was an eighth grader who had grown a little sooner than others. In fact, I think I was about an inch taller in eighth grade than I am now. Probably similar weight, muscular. I was involved in three sports. I played sports, loved sports, and I honestly loved intimidating people and was kind of a bully and kind of a jerk. I took a kid, we were playing recess, and we're playing Foursquare, very simple childhood game. Eighth grade, this kid beat me. I didn't like it. I took him and I threw him against the wall and told him how much I didn't like him beating me in Foursquare. So I, needless to say, was not necessarily engaged in a deep walk of faith with the Lord at that point. So I come to this point of confirmation, and I tell the world, or at least their congregation, that I believed in Christ, which was true. And I went off to camp, and it was this kind of cool thing. They had confirmation camp for those kids who were getting ready to go to high school, and I went with my best friend, Mike Haynes, who was the best man at my wedding. Great dude. His family was awesome. The adults did their camp, and then all these eighth graders or rising freshmen were over together. You can imagine what that was like. And it was really cool. But what was really, really cool was the fact that we went to chapel one day, which was not a new experience. I've been in church my whole life. I've been to other chapel experiences in camps and in youth group endeavors and such, and that was all fun. But what made that different that day was, for whatever reason, it wasn't on me, I did nothing. God showed up big time in my life. And here's this kid who was a little bit taller and whose voice was a little bit deeper and whose muscles were ripped. And I wish that was still true. And God broke me. And he broke me in half. And I felt this immense sadness for my sin and a remorse for what I had done wrong. And I didn't feel condemned, though. That was what was interesting. I didn't feel like there was this overwhelming sense of guilt that was hopeless. I felt a sense of turn to me, and I sobbed. And you can relate, I think, as a kid who was more of a bully at that point, that's not cool. And I'm bawling, and I'm embarrassed. So I go chucking out of there. I run to my cabin, bury my face in my pillow, and sobbed. And it was this kind soul who came in, who knew, I think, what was going on, and simply put her hand on my back, everything okay? And I said, yeah. And at that point, God showed up in power for the first time in my life that I could remember. Now, again, keep in mind, we talk about this all the time. time, there's that continuum of belief. We feel that there are people who get saved, and then it's the process, and then they feel it a little bit more, and they feel a little bit more, and they feel a little bit more. And then we feel that there are people who get saved, and it's like that experience I just explained to you. So I can't really say exactly what was going on spiritually in my heart at that point, other than to say the Holy Spirit showed up in power that day and broke me. And I changed that day. It was impressive in my heart. It was impressive for the years to come, because I can look back at that point, and I wasn't perfect from that point on, needless to say. I was at a place where I started to see the hand of the Lord at work. Very, very powerful moment. So we're going to take a look today at some aspects of Scripture that I think will bear some amazing fruit. One, we're going to see how God rules and reigns in power. So he is a God of power in and of himself. Then we're going to look specifically at Jesus. And I love the, and we'll see the scripture, but Jesus specifically holding the universe in his hands by his the word of his power. I love that. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit specifically in how he gives power. We're going to talk about power drainers then, things that are sapping that power out of our spirit, and we're going to talk about power gainers. And then we're going to get very personal in looking at how we can grow in our relationship with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first scripture we're going to take a look at, I love this verse. This is from, or verses, this is from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. And this is a prayer of David, and it points to the fact that God is all powerful. And you can follow along with me up on the screen. The scriptures are up there, but if you prefer looking at your own Bible, certainly. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. I love the word exalt. In this particular case, it's used a couple ways. God is exalted. He is on high. Exalt in this particular case is also God's power at work in our lives to lift up. And that's the context here. God lifting us up. And we're going to look specifically in how that lifting up affects our character. So God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, working together all powerfully. All power, glory, majesty, splendor, everything in heaven on earth is God's. That's an important way to start, because it puts everything in context, that every aspect of what we're talking about today comes from God. Everything. And so when we look up into the stars, I saw this really cool news report about some like Hubble telescope seeing some cool stuff in the universe and glowing and huge lights and amazing. That's all God. It's all his power, his majesty, his creation. Good. So that's an important place to get started. Then specifically to Jesus, we take a look at 1 Hebrews 1:3. This is what I alluded to earlier. This is slide number 2. He, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, his in this case meaning the Father, and he, Jesus, upholds the universe by the word of his power. Let me read that again without the interruptions. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. I think of that as God, in this case, Jesus specifically, speaks it and it happens. He upholds the universe. So that same thing where we're talking about looking in the universe through telescopes and seeing all these cool things happening, which is a great, again, visual representation of God's significance, the vastness of God's significance. It's Jesus upholding everything in his hand. Then, to make that personal, also Jesus upholding us by the power of his word personally in his hands. I love that. That's absolutely amazing. Also, I'd like to point this out. We'll come back to this one later. This also points a little bit to Jesus, and it's from 1 Corinthians 1:18. It's our next slide. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, and we'll talk a little bit about this one more, but the power of God is often so misunderstood when not illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's like if you're a believer and you've tried to explain to someone who's a non-believer, hey, my life has been impacted by Jesus. He died on a cross and now I'm free. And the non-believer goes, huh? Doesn't necessarily make sense. In fact, I've talked to someone who is like vehemently opposed to that idea. It's like, that's stupid. Do you know how foolish you are to believe that someone would die on a cross and then he's alive and now you're alive because he died? That makes no sense. And I started thinking about that in the flesh. I'm like, gosh, he's right. That makes no sense. That's true. But in the spirit, it makes total sense. So that's an example where the power of the cross gives us that new awareness, new awakening to the purpose of Jesus' life, redeeming work in our hearts. It's awesome. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So Jesus specifically, in this case, upholds all things by his power. He also pointed to the role of the Holy Spirit, which is obviously the primary topic today. When we look at Luke 24, and this won't be on the screen, I'll just read this one to you. It says, "Then he said to them," meaning Jesus, "these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." And this is the key verse. "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And Jesus was talking about Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, and Kevin talked about this. And this was the newness of the Holy Spirit's presence in New Testament days. So beyond Jesus' ascension, he's back in heaven. Jesus is saying, I'm sending my power through the Holy Spirit. And that was amazing. Absolutely, because everything changed. At that point, the way church, in a sense, happened changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look now specifically. It's a good question. What is this power that the Holy Spirit gives exactly? And our next slide comes from Romans 15:13, and it says, "May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in, may the power of the Holy Spirit," all right, take two. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." I chose the ESV version on that one because I love the context. It's a word-for-word translation from the Greek. Abound in hope is powerful. That's different. This isn't that kind of hope like, you know, May can relate. I'm a school counselor during the day, and I talk to kids, like, I am so nervous about this test, and they sit down like, oh, I really hope, and they're like praying, I really hope I pass this. Well, that's not the kind of hope we're talking about, because that's a hope just kind of like, oh, I hope it happens. They didn't really study. Okay, please help me. This is a hope that's based upon the foundation of the power of the Holy Spirit, a moving in our spirit, so that when we're dealing with life and all that life brings and its difficulties and its trials, that there's a hopefulness at the end. And I've got an amazing story, because this next aspect of the power of the Holy Spirit comes from Ephesians 3:16. It really wraps everything together here in just a second. Let's take a look at that slide from Ephesians 3:16. "I pray that out of his glorious riches," meaning God, "he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So in this case, there's a strengthening that comes through the Holy Spirit. So we have hope, we have strength. And then this last one from Colossians 1:11 is awesome. And I chose the Amplified version because of the way it impresses on some things. And it says, "We pray," meaning Paul praying, "we pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to his glorious might to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy." Those three, endurance, patience, and joy, tie into strength, which ties into hope. And those are scriptural aspects of how the Holy Spirit gives us power. if you think about this, it's pretty significant. We had a friend at our old church who tragically lost her husband in an accident where he was killed by a truck as he was crossing the street in a golf cart. So he was a young man and with kids, and this was challenging to the core of belief, as you can imagine. That faith challenges, God, why would you take my husband? That's a hard question to ask, but a good question to ask because it's a real question. And so we were amazed by our friend because as she's dealing with this significant change in her life, an immediate change that brought all kinds of difficulty, she had strength, endurance, joy, hope. She had hope. It was evident in the way she spoke to others. It didn't mean she didn't grieve. It didn't mean that she wasn't sad. It didn't mean that she wasn't real about her emotions. But in all of those things, there was something that was different, and we were amazed because her reaction was not one of the world. Her reaction was one of all those things I just read to you from those verses. And it was of God. It was not of herself. She was living the power of the Holy Spirit. She was living by the power of the Holy Spirit in an amazingly difficult season of her life. It was radical. It impressed upon us as leaders at the church at that time, this is God, and this is God at work. And she asked at some point, I don't know this, you know, if I'm paraphrasing, but she had asked the Lord for strength and power in significant, humble, real ways, and God showed up. It was awesome. So again, from Romans, the Holy Spirit gives power, strength from Ephesians, endurance, patience, and joy from Colossians. All of those are awesome. And I love how Kevin taught this already. God gives good gifts to his children. In Luke, we talked about this, and how much more God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So If we as dads, we like to give gifts to our kids, it's a joy, it's fun, that's awesome. In this particular case, Luke shares by Jesus' words how God the Father, being a perfect dad, desires to give us incredibly better gifts, significantly better gifts, and that gift comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was somewhat thinking about that as we were singing Set a Fire Down in My Soul, amazing, and just an invitation, come work in me. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, Jesus. If you think about that for a second, a lot of us have those places that perhaps we'd like to be, and we're thinking through what those could be and look like, but God the Father gives us something even better, and I'd like you to ask that today as we're praying. God, give me something better. Yeah, I have something good in mind, but you give me something better when I ask for the Holy Spirit. My life looks different. My life looks even better. And it could be that you're seeking adventure and something different. Life is mundane. What God gives is better. It could be that you're seeking peace, hope, and joy. What God gives is better. As we seek Him, whatever it is, it's better. And that can be so different. As I'm looking around, I see 20, 30 different examples of where people could be. Where God takes us is better. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it may be a place. They talk about no place I'd rather be. I think of a place like here in the village. It's a great place. I like being here. The place we're talking about is God's temple is here. The temple of the Holy Spirit is you. For those who have received Jesus Christ, you are the temple. You are carrying God. That's the place that we would rather be, is engaged in the Spirit, and the Spirit taking us literally in the stages of our lives to different places. Now, how does that tie in with all of this? Well, let's go back for a second. God reigns and rules in power in the universe, Jesus specifically upholding the universe in his hands. He cares for you personally enough to die on a cross for you, for me, to be able to tap into the Holy Spirit, which he gives us now after Pentecost, to receive hope, strength, endurance, patience, and joy in the life plan that he has for you. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. You are not a mistake. You are here for a reason, and you are here with purpose. And that power and purpose is infused through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some drainers to that, though. Here's the bummer part. Okay, so there's some ways that we get in the way. And sin, we talked about this last week. Sin is an obvious obstacle to the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. But there's some specific ways that the Bible talks about ways that we drain that power or grieve. We literally grieve the Holy Spirit. This is where we're going to start filling in the blanks. So if you can go ahead and look at the back of your bulletin. The obvious was sin. Here's a more specific way we sin. I am guilty of all three. My wife and children are here to testify. They'll be available in the back to share specific examples of my failures. Yes. Examples. I start with Amy. She's got the longest list, but the kids are good too. Number one, a power drainer for sure is rejecting God's ways and trying to handle things on our own. This is on the screen too. Rejecting God's ways and trying to handle things on our own. That's not fun. There's some fruit in that in a season. Like I've tried, I've tried to be an elder before, and I tried in the flesh. And it wasn't always in the flesh. I'm not like minimizing the work that God did in spite of me. But it's painful and it's short-lived, and you see a season of good and then it fades. It's tough, but in the spirit, wow, it's pretty awesome what God does. But when we reject his ways and try and do it our own, we run into difficulty. This is a scathing one. This is from Isaiah 63. You won't see it. I'll just read this to you. And feel free, reach out. If anyone, there are a few, like, and I meant to put these in the bulletin, I apologize, I didn't do this. If you like seeing all the scriptural references for the message, I apologize for not putting those in there. You can email me, just see me, I'll give you my email, we'll write down real quick. I'll email you all the scriptures that were used today if you like going in and digging in, which is something I like to do too. But this is from Isaiah 63:10. This is difficult to hear, but they rebelled, meaning the Hebrew people, and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, God, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Can you think of a worse place to be than God fighting against you? Think about that for a second. That's awful. Like the God who we saw upholds the universe in his hand fighting against you. You're dead. Right, boom. It's like, there's no battle. You're dead. It's over. God fought against them. He used people, and of course, in this case, if you know the history, he used people to fight the Hebrews, his own people. Why? Because he wanted them back. They had rebelled. Wake up. It was a wake-up call. That was the purpose in this particular season. So when we reject God and his ways and say, I'm taking this on my own, don't be surprised if there's difficulty. And it's not because God is mad or angry or wants to discipline us, although he does want to discipline us in a good way, not like some of the ways we've perhaps experienced in our lives, which were not good. I'm a flawed father. There are times I discipline my children incorrectly. That's bad. God never does that. He is perfect. He disciplines us correctly every time, and he does it to get us back. It's so important. Please keep that in mind. That's so important. So when we are rejecting God's ways and doing it on our own, we lose the power. Here's another way. This is the second fill in the blank. Treating those around us poorly. Treating those around us poorly. It's a resonant call here at Village Community Church. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. Really amazing how, and I love that Kevin has made that such a clear element of our teaching, because if you think about so much of Scripture is about love God, love others. The Ten Commandments, love God, love others. The first three, love God. The last seven, love others. And when we treat others poorly, we drain the power of the Holy Spirit. Check this out. This is from Ephesians 4:29-31. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice, period. Wow. Let me do that again. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, all to be put away from us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we're walking in the flesh, those are examples. Guilty. Walking in the flesh, we have those examples. As we heard, that grieves the Holy Spirit. So if we're feeling weak and we're feeling spiritually, there's perhaps a reason. It could be we're rejecting God's ways, or it could be we're just treating others around us poorly. That could be our family. It could be our friends. It could be our coworkers. It could be our neighbors. We know it happens. It's a drainer, and you can feel it. Think about that for a second. I know I'm guilty when I've caught myself, and oftentimes I'm rationalizing. Anyone else do this? I'm saying something poorly about someone else. And I might be saying it to Amy, but there's a spiritual dimension to that. So I'm saying it to her, but I must be aware that the power of the Holy Spirit is awakening in me right then as I'm saying it, a sense of conviction. God is with us because God has chosen to inhabit with us. I love the word that John used. We'll talk about it in a second. Abide. God abides with us. We abide with God. I love that word. We'll talk more in a second. But right there, as I'm saying it, I feel that nudge in my spirit like, Drews, what are you saying? Is this grace? Are you lifting up your brother? Are you saying something that's going to increase their understanding of my forgiveness? Are you saying something that's specifically related to their situation and their life that will build them up? Or are you saying something to make yourself feel better? To put yourself in a position where you feel superior? Prideful. What is your intention, Drews? And not in the bad Drews kind of way. That was a bad visual. And folks, that's why we don't videotape the sermons. No, God does it in a loving and kind way so that we're at a place where His Spirit says, why? And He says why because He's saying, come back to me. Come back to me. That's not my way. Listen to God's way in that too. No corrupting talking out of your mouth, only such as good for building up. That's God. He's a redeemer and a restorer, as fits the occasion. So there's times we have to say difficult things. We are, because we're going to have to say something that's not easy to hear to somebody. And that's hard. We don't like saying things that are negative, but sometimes we have to say it, like, I'm so sorry, but you are doing this, or I feel like you are doing this, and this is not in alignment with God's will for your life. But as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace. May give grace. I love that too. Good. So sorry, I'm fighting a cold. The water helps. Last one, power drainer, being afraid. This is on the screen. Third one, being afraid. I've dealt with fear. I've been a people pleaser in the flesh my whole life. As a musician, that's easy. Gosh, man, that's a trap. It's hard because I loved it, man, when people would come up, man, you know how to drum. Ooh, yeah, you got it. Like, yeah, I got it, yeah. So that's a bad thing. And the reason I say it there instead of in talking about pridefulness, because it's obviously prideful, is that I have a fear of not pleasing you. You know, I do. I'm afraid that you're going to walk away and not like me. That's a terrible place. That's in the flesh. Let me come back over here. In the spirit, I'm just rejoicing because we together are hearing about the power of God to set us free from that kind of junk. So if you're feeling afraid, you're not alone. I'd like to share this because this scripture ties into being afraid, but it also gives us our first power gainer. So we've talked about power drainers. We're going to transition after you hear this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. My favorite writer. We're not supposed to have favorites. I do. 1 John 4:18-19. So let's go ahead and now keep moving. Our power gainer, our first one, God's perfect love. It's a power gainer. And that's more of an awakening. Like, you can wake up in the morning and if you have the YouVersion on your phone, if you're like me, I've given up during this fast, which is, I know it's not fun. There are aspects of the fast that are challenging. Like, I've missed certain things, like ice cream. Like, we have a thing of ice cream in the freezer right now. It's Graters. So it's not the cheap ice cream. We're talking the good, like the raspberry chip ice cream. And it's remained sealed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's remained sealed. So, yeah. I gave up Facebook, too. That's actually been really easy. I've been very thankful for that. It's like, sometimes it's just a junk. So that part I haven't missed. So I used to get up and just check Facebook first thing. Now I've been getting up and looking at YouVersion and seeing what verses God would have for me. That's a great prayer to start your day. God, would you just awaken me to your love? Amen. God, waken me to your love today. As I'm waking up today to start my day, would you please awaken me to your love? What a great prayer. Oh, it's so good. And it's a power gainer. Secondly, a power gainer is Jesus' name. Just praying in Jesus' name. This is from John, not a surprise, 17:11. And this is Jesus' prayer to the Father before his ascension. He said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Think about that for a second. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. That's that aspect of abiding in God. Oh, and then abiding in each other. Oh, the developer of community, the designer of community, the perfect example of community is God. That's incredible. What a power giver. Listen to that again. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. That's another great text. If you're talking to someone, is Jesus really God or is he just, you know, a prophet? Jesus openly states in various sections of Scripture, I am God. This is one, that they may be one as we are one. He's calling himself one with God the Father. It's awesome. In Jesus' name, there's power. We sing about it all the time. It's awesome. Lastly, the third one. This one is incredible. If I make it through without bawling like a baby, it's a power of the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel. This is the third one. The gospel is why we're here. It is foundational to every component of the church. Everything that we talk about is about the gospel. Everything that we do is about the gospel. Every prayer that we should pray as a community here in South Lebanon should be about the gospel. The gospel is the center of Celebrate Recovery. The gospel is this there. Thank you. Very nice. The gospel is the center of Joshua's Place. The gospel is the center of Power Packs. The gospel is the center. You just insert everything that you know is going on here at the Village Community Church in Joshua's Place, and it's about the gospel. The gospel. It is what has changed us. It's what's taken me from an arrogant, prideful jerk who would like to bully others and feel like he was an authority to a person who thanks God that I'm changing. That I'm changing. I'm changed, but I'm still changing. And I'm moving. And I'm becoming more in alignment with God. And I'm knowing God more because of his power. That's the gospel. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. Listen to these. And this is like the, oh my goodness, diatribe of intense scriptures about the power of the gospel. Listen carefully. From Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. From Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. From Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. From from Acts 4:13. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. From 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and full of conviction. And from 1 Corinthians 1:18, once again, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is different than anything else in the world. It is life-changing. It will give you a whole new perspective. The vision that you have is changed completely. The way you hear things is totally different. The way you feel things, the way you work with others is totally different by the power of the gospel. It is completely, completely powerful. There's no way to describe it. I feel completely, right now, inept in my ability to convey to you through words the power of the gospel. It can be conveyed, though, through the Holy Spirit. Whew, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's what took me, an eighth grade boy, very consumed with things of this world, and broke me and made me bawl like a baby in front of all these people. It's what's changed me a little bit along the way to go from giving God a high five on Sundays to a place where I'm seeing Him. Wait, this is perfect. Didn't plan on this. Go from here, the rusty one, to the chrome-covered one, which is just kind of shiny covering, to a place where I'm saying, God, I need you daily. And I'm still making mistakes. I need you, but I want to be stainless because I want your power to infuse in my heart. Sorry about that. There's a microphone there. I want your power to make me different on the inside. What a difference. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you today. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day where we say to you, Lord, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the seventh time, God, we need you. I'm so sorry for what I've done. I see my need for you. I don't want to be those things that we saw earlier, God. We don't want to be those things where we are caught up in wrath and malice and slander, anger. We don't want to hurt our brothers and sisters, God, anymore. We want to be people of the word, people of your power. Father God, we ask that you move in our hearts now, maybe today again for the first time, maybe for the sixth time, maybe for the 17th time, whatever it may be, that you would lead us to that place of repentance by your kindness, that you would give us a chance, Father, once again to say, I need you. I'm sorry for my sin. Take me, God, into your arms. For those who have a specific need in mind, Father, I ask that you would make it clear to them that you are a God of redemption and restoration. That this week would be a week that we mark with your power, that we look back and say, God, it was you at work, that you made a change, that you made a difference. I pray that you would impress upon our hearts right now specific ways that we need you, or perhaps specific ways that we can celebrate what you've already done. And we thank you that we gather together as a body to celebrate your death, your resurrection, and that you call us into a new life, God. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kyle's going to strum a little bit, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this insert. This is in your bulletin today. I'd like you to take it out. You'll see up front, we have this Village Community Church Renew, Changed by the Spirit sign. It's been on our website, obviously a part of this series as a way of just proclaiming what God is doing. And I'd like to invite you to participate individually today in something that I hope will be personally relevant. There's three things that you can do with this. I'll start with the first one. If you don't have anything to fill out today, just take this home with you. Just put it in your pocket and then maybe bring it out later. I teach drum lessons, and there's times when I'm working with a kid and what I'm trying to teach them isn't settling at all, and I can sense it, and I just say, hey, you know what? Just take this home and work on it a little bit, and then let's talk about it next week. So if what I'm getting ready to say to everyone isn't resonating with you, no problem. No problem whatsoever. Just fold this in half, put it in your pocket or in fourths, and take it home with you, and then pray. Ask God, maybe this will be the first time you've prayed this prayer, but ask God, would you please give me your Holy Spirit? Would you please give me that place where I can hear from you, maybe from the first time, hear from you, feel your presence. May I see something from you, God. Take it home. Others of you today can, and maybe this is everyone else, just take your pen and just put a line down the middle this way. And on one side, you'll see the old wood, which is all beat up. You could put on there either something that you've been set free from or something that you'd like to see the Holy Spirit set you free from. Let me say that again. On this side where it's kind of tattered, something you have been set free from, because as we heard last week, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us a sense of love for the hope of freedom. You can put that over here. So we want to be set free, or we have been set free. And then on this side, would you simply write what you've been set free from and how? So for instance, I was dealing with fear and now I feel courageous. I was dealing with alcoholism and now I feel free. I was dealing with anger and now I feel peace. Those are the examples. Or this is the really powerful one. I'm right now dealing with pornography addiction. Right now. And I want no longer to deal with that. I want to be free. Write that down. Over on this side, you could be writing, I'm dealing with alcoholism. I beat my wife. I'm ashamed. Right over here, I want to be forgiven. Over here, I'm struggling with anger. I steal. I consistently gossip. I want to be changed. I want to speak well of my brother. On this side, maybe it's something that you're very ashamed of your past. God is bigger. He is bigger. There's nothing. He is David, an adulterer. He is Moses, a murderer. There's nothing. Maybe you were an abuser of children. That's horrible. Yes. God is bigger. He will bring freedom and healing and restoration. Write that down. Fold it. And then in the back, Kevin had another visual example of our stainless steel existence through Jesus. There's a pot back there. Just fold it. It's between, no name on here. You can write down if it's something that you're thankful for too, because we're going to pray in confidence. No one's going to see this except for our prayer warriors. We're not going to advertise anything. Your name's not on it anyway. You can write down, this is in thankfulness. I've been set free. Or you can write the word help on it. Like, I need help today. I need this today. Write it down. It's okay. Write help on there. And we'll put it right in that bucket back there. It's cast iron something used for cooking. You'll see it. And there's some of these, there are a couple of these stainless steel reminders of Jesus' role in our lives, making us stainless by his power. There's some fasting guides. It's not too late. If you want to jump in the last 7 days, God does radical things as we deny ourselves and ask for his presence. So just put those in the back, whether it be you want help or you want to say thank you. It doesn't matter. Or just take it home. No problem. No problem whatsoever. We're going to do communion here in a second, and I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come up first. These are intercessors. They are people who God has just said, I'm going to give you a gift to pray for others. They are going to be also available in the back, and feel free to go up to whoever you'd like to. If this is good, but you want to talk to someone or ask someone specifically right now to pray for you, not to talk with them about really just like, this is my need, would you pray for me? Please approach any of the people who are standing in the back. They'll be glad to pray for you, no doubt about it. Or if this is something you just want to do in confidence, just leave it in the pot, fold it up, and you will be prayed for earnestly this week. This is not a church that gives lip service to prayer. This is a church that believes in the power of prayer, because our prayers are on our knees. Because God has showed us that on our knees, he shows up and he lifts us up. He exalts us and he gives us his power. Communion is a way of celebrating what I just said, where we celebrate the body and blood of Christ. And anyone who has received the Lord Jesus as their Savior is welcome to that celebration. If you're still at that place where you're not sure, hang loose, reflect on that, because we want to celebrate together in what God has done. And actually the word says you can actually do some spiritual harm to yourself if you're not at a place where you're taking communion in that recognition of Jesus' role in your life. So reflect on it. So first, anyone who has, I'm finishing up, who is going to pray today, our intercessors, come on up now. Go ahead and start communion. And then those who are going to participate, please feel free to start from the back and then come forward. If you have finished communion, you're seeing who the folks are who are willing to pray with you, just reach out to them. They'd love to pray with you. Kyle's going to do a couple more songs, and let's celebrate all that God has done in our lives. We can start communion from the back now.